Good morning, everyone. No, Dustin has not gotten younger and much more handsome. He is out of town, so I'm going to be speaking this morning. First thing I need to do is, if you haven't yet gone to see Willy Wonka, the musical, today's your last day to do that. And the only reason I say this is because we have several people here that are in this musical, and it's an awesome musical. Doug and Angie Yurchik are in this. Haley and Tabby Hansen are in it. Jenna Sadler is in it. And then yours truly is in this musical. It's really great. How many tickets are left for today? Huh? 19 tickets are left, okay, for today's performance at 2. I give you permission now to get on your smartphones and go ahead and buy a ticket, because they will be gone, all right? Be awesome if you guys could come out to that. Speaking of that, Doug wants me to be done by 11. So we're going to go quick this morning. When you think of heaven, what picture comes into your mind? Is it something like this? Gates, stairs, some more gates, golden city, streets of gold. Looks more like Oz, but it's Golden City in the clouds, angels everywhere. Oh, I don't know how that got in there. Sorry. No, anyway, I'll give something for the Tennessee fans here. Maybe this is your idea of heaven. No, but when we think about heaven, usually it's this ethereal place that exists that we go to after we die, right? But what if heaven looked like this? Or this? That. What if we could experience heaven here, right now? What if heaven wasn't just this idea and this place that exists somewhere in the clouds that we only get to see once we die? What if heaven was right here and now? Well, we're coming up on this season where, at least in America, we focus on the birth of Christ, right? And traditionally in Churches of Christ, we don't focus on the birth of Christ at Christmas time because that's not really when he was born, okay? But this is an important story. It's an important truth that God decided to come down and live as a human and actually be born as a human baby and experience life. To truly live as a human. And I think it's even more important than sometimes we understand. Because I think it says something about the importance of living. The importance of the life that we have here with us. John puts it this way. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus is life. Nothing that's living exists without him. And what this says is that life is powerful. And as followers of Christ, those who follow Christ, this means our lives are powerful and our lives are sacred. You know, I think a lot of times God could have just stuck his head through the clouds and said, I forgive everybody. I want a relationship with you. Just follow me. All right? He could have done that. God could have appeared as an adult male and gone through the death, burial, and resurrection. Right? There's an infinite possibility of ways that God could have handled the situation of redeeming us. But he chose to live as a human. And he chose to experience a full life. And while we only have a portion of Jesus' life recorded, okay, we have to understand that he experienced what we experience every day. He experienced the mundane stuff. He experienced the boring things. He experienced the suffering that we experience. He experienced everything that we experience. And there's a reason for that. I think it's important. But see, a lot of times we get mixed up, all right? And we like to focus on things maybe that we shouldn't put all of our focus on. I've been reading this book called The Way of Kings, and it's not a Christian book, it's a fantasy book, but there's this line in it that really got me thinking. It's a line that is spoken over and over again, and the line is, journey before destination. Journey before destination. And it got me thinking about our journey and our destination. And sometimes how we overemphasize the destination, we way underemphasize the journey. Because the journey is important. We have to experience the journey before the destination is reached. But traditionally, I think we have overemphasized the journey. Heaven, this place that exists and the place we go to when we die or after we die. And there's problems when we do that. Okay? There's problems when we overemphasize that idea of heaven. And we underemphasize the idea that the kingdom of heaven reigns here and now. And that we can be a part of that. I think the first problem that happens is we take power away from the gospel. And let me explain that to you. When our message to other people is that if you accept Jesus, you get to go to this place that you've never seen, and I can't really tell you much about, but I know it's going to be awesome. That's your reward. That's not tangible to people. Okay? It doesn't encompass fully what Jesus did for us either. And so, I mean, in being real and honest, if somebody who doesn't know Jesus, if that's all you have to offer them is this ethereal place that they can't experience right now, that's not very alluring to them. All right? They're not going to want that, honestly. And so we take power away from what Jesus did. We take power away from the life that he lived, and we take power away from the life that we can experience now, here and now. We take the power away from the kingdom of God in heaven that exists right now. The second thing that it does is it takes power from the journey. It takes power away from the journey. Let me illustrate it this way. In 2009, I was grossly overweight, out of shape. I knew I had to do something. So I started going to a gym and working out. I'd quit drinking sodas, changed a little bit the way I eat. But I started losing weight, and I started getting more fit. Well, that kind of caught on, and I was like, all right, I'm feeling better, but I need to do something else. Well, I saw a flyer one day for a 5K. Now, I had never run more than a mile in my life, okay? And I ran track in high school and played football in college, but I had never actually run more than 1 mile at a time in my life. Well, 5K is 3.1 miles, and that's a long way. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this. And I had no idea what I was doing, didn't have anybody that I could talk to about this. I just went out and started running. And I got to where I could run 3 miles, so I ran this 5K race. And it was fun. And I was like, you know, I'm going to keep doing this. And so I kept running and entered more races. And a year later, I ran my first full marathon. Now, a full marathon is 26.2 miles. It's dumb to run that far. But I had no idea, right? I just, at that time, I was like, well, I'm going to keep running. And I just keep running longer and longer distances. And the marathon is like the holy grail for runners. And so I was like, I'm going to do this. I didn't know how to train, nothing. Okay, and I just went out there and ran it. And I finished. And I finished with a pretty good time for not knowing what I was doing. I finished it in it was 3 hours and 34 minutes, okay? And the whole time I was like, I was just looking around. I was enjoying myself as much as you can when you run that far. I remember they give out these cups of water and Gatorade, and I took one and drank it. And I did a hook shot, hit it from 15 feet. And people cheered me as I was running. I was like, this is awesome. I talked to people. I remember at mile 20, when it really started getting hard, I started talking to God. And I said, God, thank you for this ability to run. Thank you that I can actually get out here and do this. Because I know there's people that can't. And there's going to be a time in my life when I'm not going to be able to do this. Thank you so much. It was an awesome experience. So awesome that I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to do this seriously. And so I bought training books, and I talked to people that knew how to do this. And I upped my mileage to like 50 to 60 miles a week, and my goal was to qualify for Boston. Now, in order to qualify for Boston Marathon, you have to run a 3:10, 3 hours and 10 minutes, which is like a 7-minute mile. Right, Paul? Paul's done it before. So anyway, I had this goal in mind, right, that I had to do this. And I ran 2 more marathons. And they were horrible experiences. Awful. In fact, my first marathon time was a lot better than my other two. And I had a goal in mind for the other two. The first time was just, I'm going to run this and hopefully I finish it. And I think the point here is that far too often we focus so much on the destination that we completely miss the journey. And if we instead just take time and enjoy the journey with the idea in mind that the destination's there, then, man, it's so much better. We get to experience life. When we focus solely on this idea that one day we get to be with God, we miss being with God now. And we miss experiencing being citizens of His kingdom now. One of the favorite section of Scripture is my favorite section of Scripture is the Sermon on the Mount. It's because Jesus talks solely about the kingdom of heaven. That's what He's talking about. He begins with this in the Beatitude: God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And He goes on to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And His idea of the kingdom of heaven is it's here and it's now. It's the reign of God on this earth. And you can be a citizen of this kingdom. You can experience heaven now. And I'm not going to go through the whole Sermon on the Mount here, but I want you to. And read it. Because what He talks about is practical stuff. It's how does a citizen of the kingdom of heaven live? How does that citizen act? How does that citizen react to different things? What is their heart like? How do they view the law? How do they treat other people? How do they engage with God? How do they pray to God? There's no need to worry for a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. There's so many things that He talks about, and He ends the whole thing with this. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. The rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house. It won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Okay, this is practical. Jesus is saying, everything I've just said, put it into practice now, and you can experience the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, life's not going to be that great. But if you listen to me and you live the way that God intended you to live and experience, then you get to experience life that other people don't get to experience. You get to experience life the way it was intended. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no suffering, right? It doesn't mean that there's not evil in the world. It doesn't mean bad things don't happen. But what Jesus invites us into is a relationship with God and understanding that we are not beholden to the world, but we're citizens of the King of Kings. We're citizens of heaven. And we get to experience things and deal with life in a way that other people don't get to that are outside of that relationship. We get to experience life, and we get to experience an amazing life. Back in John, this is what Jesus says. And he's here in this context, he's talking about himself as the shepherd and about his people as his sheep. Okay, and he says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." He came so that we could have life and have it abundantly. And guys, this isn't life that begins after death. This is life that begins now. The thing about eternity is it doesn't have a starting point, right? And it doesn't have an end. Right? If you have eternal life through Jesus, you have it right now. Right? You get to experience it right now. And no, it's not as great as it's going to be when heaven and earth come together and when Jesus is fully reigning. But man, we get to experience it now in glimpses of it. And you know what? It's more than just sitting and singing praises to God, even though I love doing that. Okay? But can I be honest with you? If that's all we do in heaven, it's going to get a little bit boring. I think there's more to it than that, right? I think the way we live our lives now is practice for the way heaven is going to be. And that's why it's so important for us to grab hold of that. And understand that right now we can live in the kingdom of heaven. Think if we ask Jesus about heaven. This is what he'd say. Heaven isn't an ethereal future hope. It's a present reality that begins when you live under my kingly reign now and you begin to experience my blessings now. And that's what he invites you to. He invites you to experience that kingdom now. If you haven't taken that invitation, if you want to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, be baptized into his name, then I invite you to do that. If you're struggling with anything, if we can help you in any way, pray for you, whatever your need is, please come forward as we stand and sing.